Now let's look at this as if we're up in space looking down on the earth. Okay? Let's come to Isaiah 17. We've used this scripture before, but after everything that's going on and with the tsunami that happened in Japan, right at the same time, all of this together makes the scriptures come alive. Isaiah 17 and verse 12. Oh, the uproar of many people who are roaring like the roarings of the seas. Now, we'll see about water and people and empires here in a little bit. And the rushing of nations who rush on like the rushing of mighty waters. The nation shall rush like rushing of many waters, and he shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like the whirling dust before a gale. At evening time, behold, terror. You don't have to have a terror attack. Anyone want to try a tsunami? Or Gaddafi? Okay. Before the morning they are not. This is the lot of those who plunder us and the lot of those who rob us. So God eventually is going to take care of the problem. Now come back here to Revelation 13. Let's see something about waters. We saw that in Luke 21, but now let's come here to Revelation 13. And let's see what it says about this coming system. How does it come up? What are they talking about with all of these revolutions? It's a groundswell of people, right? It's from the people. Well, does it come from the people alone? Or have you seen something which says, from the top down, bottom up, inside out? That's a tactic of the communists, and Glenn Beck brought that on his program several times. So if we see something coming from the bottom up, what's happening at the top? And then what's happening in between? Now, in a small case, the governor of Wisconsin temporarily won. But they were trying that with him. Top down, bottom up. So what happens? The Democrats leave and go hide out in Chicago. So they can't get things done. Bottom up, they had random mob from every part of the USA. When we look out and see what's happening in these governments, it's brought out as being a groundswell of people. So let's look at how this system is going to develop. Revelation 13 and verse 1. Now this is John speaking with his vision. And I stood on the sand of the sea. Now, sand of the sea is lots of people, right? So is also the water. We'll see in just a little bit. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Doesn't say how fast, but if it's coming up slowly, it may depict the development of it. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. This is the satanic system brought about by the bottom up, top down, inside out. How does Satan always work? Anybody remember? TAS. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The status quo is now. The antithesis is the revolution. The synthesis is the solution. So that becomes the current thesis. That's the new thesis. Then somewhere down the road, there's going to be an antithesis and then a synthesis. Over and over and over again until Satan gets it where he wants it. Now, the seven heads and 10 horns refers back to Daniel, refers also back to Revelation 12, and that's Satan's system, seven heads and 10 horns. Okay, but notice it is an amalgamation of governments. It's not a singular unitary government when it starts out. And the beast I saw was like a leopard. Now that refers to Greece. And his feet like the feet of a bear. That refers to Persia. Today that's Russia. His mouth like the mouth of a lion, and that refers to Babylon, can also refer to Great Britain. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So Satan is the one who's behind it. And I saw one of his heads as if it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed. And the whole earth. Now, see, this is the key with the book of Revelation. And when you read some of the prophecies, all the world, whole earth, every nation, see. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Well, after you have disasters coming along, you have a collapse of the monetary system come, they will have no alternative but to follow him, right? Okay? And they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast who has the power to make war against him? Now let's go on, because we're going to put a couple of things together here. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. Now that's after the deadly wound healed. Now we've gone through 2 Thessalonians, the one who goes into the temple and says he's God. This is the one. Okay? And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Those are the aliens. And he was given power to make war against the saints. We won't go into all the details of that. We've covered that before, to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Now that's all inclusive. That is a world government. No way you can get around it. It is, the beast embodies the system and the man of sin, the son of perdition. And all, notice that, who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now the question becomes, how is all the earth going to worship him? Like one man wrote me an email recently and said, how is everyone going to come under the auspices of the Pope? You think the Muslims will? Well, we'll find out here. It says all. That's got to include the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus. Okay. Here's the answer, verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him and causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So worldwide religious authority. Okay? Notice what is going to be the thing which will convince everyone he's from God. Verse 13, and he performs great wonders so that he causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. So someone sent me this report of activities of, he's called Papa in Italian, and he's called El Papa in Spanish, and the lower rank peons are called padres. Now, Pope Benedict XVI this last week was so magnanimous that he made a pronouncement and wrote a short encyclical saying, we pardon the Jews for killing Christ. Well, we'll see how that goes. Okay? But here's another report concerning Muslims and Catholics. Because one of the things that the Catholics want to do is to move the Pope's throne, okay? The Catholics and the Muslim both see the Holy Land as occupied by Zionists. None of them have Jerusalem as the present center of their religion, and they both need to shift their throne of authority to Jerusalem to overcome the Jews. Islam lacks a throne. Muslims basically bow down and worship in front of an empty throne. The Pope has a throne. And the Catholics visiting the Vatican bow down to kiss the ring of the fishermen or fall down on their faces and worship him. So it shows a picture of the Pope on his throne. Okay, now Pope John Paul II put the throne back in retirement. Benedict XVI has brought it back out, and he sits on it. Shows a picture of it here. Islam has no central ruler who can reunite them, since the Pope has already accepted that Islam is a part of God's plan to save mankind. Did you know that? Islam will be able to accept the Pope as the Prince of Peace. Shiite and Sunni Muslims will, for the first time, stand united and gathered in front and gather in front of the new universal papal throne on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. Boy, that'll really make the Jews go bananas, won't it? But the papal throne must face southward inside the Dome of the Rock toward Mecca. Otherwise, Muslims will not bow down towards the throne. What is the papal throne? The papal throne is nothing new to the Roman Church. It was last seen in 1978 and so forth, and then Benedict brought it out of storage in 2006. In the Catholic religion, the Pope is infallible when he sits on his papal throne or chair in questions about moral and true understanding of the Scriptures. Question: how will the papal throne be moved to Rome from Rome to Jerusalem? Okay? And the Muslims will agree to it. They've already agreed on the most important issues. The Holy Land is occupied by Zionists, needs to be liberated. Number two, both Roman Catholicism and Islam is included in God's plan of saving mankind, since they both represent the children of Abraham. Three, all religions express some truths about God and need to be included to make a fulfilled picture of the Creator. Four, Jesus is the Son of Mary. Five, world peace must flow out of Jerusalem when the three present main religions are able to live in peace and come together as one voice and offer interfaith prayers. What will convince the Muslims to do so? A little fire from heaven. Must be from God. Okay? And not known to many people, Jews, Muslims, and Hindus, and Buddhists, all have ecumenical dialogue with the Vatican. And not many people realize this, but the Dalai Lama is the only other one who is called His Holiness outside of the Pope. And where will they pray together? Do you think the Pope in May entered the Temple Mount to go for a stroll to watch the beautiful view? It was both a display of new Catholic-Muslim unity and a chance to debate the last of the practical solutions. Questions like this still have to be answered and agreed upon. How they're going to use the Dome of the Rock? Okay? How will they agree to make new universal religion? Okay? Then it shows a picture of the Pope. When he went to Istanbul, Turkey, he went into a mosque and with the leading imams, stood there and prayed with them. They said, well, he didn't pray, he meditated. But it showed the picture that he was like this and the other imams were there. Not many people realize that these things are in progress. Satan is working. Okay? Now, then it talks about the mark of the beast. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Let's come over here to Revelation 17. Let's take another look at this with the waters in mind. The waters of Isaiah 17, the sea of Revelation 13, and now many waters of Revelation 17. Let's read it. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters. Drop down to verse 15. Tells you what the waters are. Just exactly like Isaiah 17 did. Then he said to me, the waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. The whole world. He causes the whole world to worship the beast. But she is the one who helps bring the beast into power and then sits on her and rides her, rides the beast. Here in this case, it's seven heads and ten horns again. All right? Now come back here to verse 12. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not received a kingdom, but shall receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These all have one mind and shall give up their power and authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, how is all of that going to happen? I mean, see how absolutely miraculous this is going to appear to the world. Everybody's getting along. Everybody's agreeing after all of these wars and centuries and time. Okay, come down here to verse 17, it'll tell you. For God has put it in their hearts to do his will, and to act with one accord, and to give their kingdoms to the beast, until the words of God have been fulfilled. Now, why would God do this? Because the only thing that man has not had has been a world government. He's had every other kind of government, but not a world government. So God is going to let them have it. He's going to make sure that it happens so that no one will say, God, if we could only have had a world government, we could have solved the problems. Now notice, verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. There's only one city that has that. Ambassadors from every country in the world, even including atheist countries like Russia and China, because they know that Catholicism is political. Religion to them is no more than power to the unions. Remember seeing the news clip several times over, the one saying, you know, we do not have the union because we care for the children. We do not have the union because we want to give them good education. We have the union because we have power. And the union members send us hundreds of millions of dollars every year for us to exercise that power, and they do it contrary to what the rank and file want. So it's just exactly the same thing here with the Catholic Church. A lot of people aren't going to admit it. But guess how Eastern Europe came down? Reagan and John Paul II worked together to bring it. Not told that. A lot of this thing happens behind the scenes. How did Hitler rise to power? Well, the Catholic Church was behind it to help stop Bolshevism and communism from taking over Germany and Europe. So you see, there are a lot of things done behind the scenes. There are angels of God carrying out the will of God. There are demons who are doing the will of Satan. All of these things fit into a great mosaic of how these things are going to come about. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what Satan is going to do concerning the mark of the beast and the world currency. Come back here to Revelation 13, please. Okay. Verse 14, right where we left off before. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by means of the wonders or miracles that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast, which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. And he was given power to give life to the image of the beast. Now, this cannot be a high-tech fake. This has got to be the real thing. So that the image of the beast could also speak, and he causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Of course, true Christians won't do it. and they won't receive the mark of the beast, so those two things will cause them to be martyred. And people say, well, why would God want those good saints to be killed? Well, if you are Christ, what difference does it make how you die? If you die in the faith, you have eternal life. Isn't that correct? Yes. Another thing, who died for you? Christ did. Are you willing to die for Christ? And did we not pledge our lives unto death in baptism? Yes, we did. So it's going to happen. Now, verse 16, and he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, all, we're talking about the whole earth here in Revelation 13, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, what about 5 weeks ago, I lost or misplaced my wallet, and I had 4 credit cards in there, plus a gas card. Now, no one tried to use them, so I must have misplaced it somewhere. I've been looking everywhere. Dolores has been looking everywhere, and we've looked and double-checked and triple-checked and looked everywhere. Can't find it. But I had to call and cancel my credit cards. Now, what's on the credit card? My number of the credit card, correct? See? Now, I had to cancel them so that no one else could use them, and no one has tried to use them, by the way. And also my gas card, you know, the first thing they would do if they found it or stole it is they would use the gas card right away. No use of the gas card either. Okay. But it made me realize that today we are in a commercial mercantile society that if you don't have cash, and a lot of people don't like to take cash, you remember the commercial they had where they had all the lively music and all the people buying the stuff and running through, and they had their pass-through cards, you know, and everybody was going through and business was zinging along, the cash registers going zing, 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 you know, and everybody was getting their snacks and lunch, and here comes some dope with money. Boom! The line stops, and the clerk looks, you know, at all the customers with their cards ready to buy are looking at them. Remember that commercial? Okay. Now, that was done in jest, but it sets you up psychologically that you don't want to use money. Okay. Same way with the bank thing. Remember the bank thing where they put the barcode on the forehead and they were making funny of it, making fun of it, you know, and you go on the bank and the way that you have a transaction, you bend over and then you get a quick chiropractic adjustment. Boop, boop. Yeah. And then you can buy it, see. Well, that's another way of telling it's coming. The mark of the beast is coming. It's just like Dolores says all the time. Satan transmits ahead of time what he's going to do in the movies and commercials. Always. Okay. It's going to come. All right. In this book, The Day the Dollar Crashes, it talks about how that's going to happen. I'm not going to read that part, but I'm going to read part of the situation here because it says there will be a new world currency. There, whatever cash there's going to be, they're probably already printing the money and storing it someplace, probably in some forbidden place in Switzerland, okay? And remember, Basel, Switzerland, where the IMF is and where some banks are, is a sovereign territory and is not subject to the laws of Switzerland nor subject to subpoena from the international court nor any other country. Just down the road is Vienna. Not Vienna, but Geneva. Sorry, Italians, I didn't mean to offend you. Okay, Geneva. Guess what's in Geneva? All the property that used to belong to the League of Nations. Guess what they did when the United Nations was formed? They deeded all of the property and monies that they had from the League of Nations to the United Nations. That's why I've said I believe they're going to go back and be in Geneva. So there will be a world government. He talks about the world government that will be here. Let me read it. Part of the new world order, the shift to a sustainable world, lies in people making a shift of consciousness. Now, remember consciousness. Where does that come from? New Age religion. And the man who wrote this book, now he's not coming out of a farm someplace. His name is Damon Vickers, and he was born in the elite in the East. And what he's written, a lot of it is just airhead New Ageism. And so that fits in perfectly with what Glenn Beck is doing with his religion. He's bringing in a New Age religion. He's doing to the right and the conservatives to what Oprah did to the liberals. So you've got a convergence now of New Ageism. A shift of consciousness, a shift that acknowledges and embraces the oneness and interconnectedness of all things. What is that? Pantheism? God is in everything? Yes. The 2010 movie Avatar is a brilliant portrayal of the old world versus a world committed to the concept of oneness. Now, what did President Obama say just the other day with this tragedy? Well, we know that as human beings, we're all one. Then he says we are seeing this shift of consciousness in some areas. Then it talks about the leaders for the central government, which is he as the abbreviation CG. Okay. Where will our new leaders come from? The central government should represent the interest of all the people and all life on earth. Wonderful. See, nice elitist platitudes. We will need good, fair-minded leaders who place the interests of the many above the interests of the few. Now, defense depends on how you apply that definition. These people may be elected or volunteer. There might be qualifications they must meet, and their tenure might be for months, years, decades, or life. I don't know how all that will look, but one thing I do know, they will be accountable for all of their decisions to the people of the planet, and they will be rewarded based on their results, not on expectations. So much political drivel. It has never been that way, right? Now, here's what he says. Notice how he defines what the beast is, and let me read you what he says about the Antichrist here. I believe we will see at least one individual come forth to lead this group. I think we will see a charismatic, single global future, single global figure who will lead the world. That person must be willing to stand up and step forward. That person lives today. Now, what I just said is a little scary. It brings up things like the Antichrist, but I know that people relate better to people than they do to causes. The probability is that someone is going to need to emerge and step forward and say, I will lead. The challenges are great, but here are the solutions. I'm willing to lead. It won't be easy for someone to accept this challenge. Many people think it is all about that person's ego or power trip, but that won't be the case. Listen to this. New Age, empty-headed stupidity and altruism with their thoughts in the clouds and their feet not even on the ground. This person will come from a position of consciousness, New Age, unconditional love as others before them. May we be kinder this time. Love is the only motive that will work. We've already seen leaders who are driven by greed and the need for personal recognition and power, and we've seen the pain and destruction caused by those motivations. Love is the strongest force in the universe. How's that for a platform for the beast? Will that be deceivable enough? Eh? Yes. Bring it all in. The world is talking about it. And you see a picture of this man. He's a nice-looking man, but if you look very closely, you will see he's a typical New Ager, Eastern elitist. So he's telling us how it's going to come out. Okay. So just a couple examples today on how prophecy is being fulfilled, and they're planning on it, see? They're planning on the religions coming together, and they already have the vehicles in motion to do that. They're planning on having a world currency, and we're there, and that will come first. They're already planning on a great world leader who will emerge, who is alive somewhere today. Now, we'll have to wait and see who that is. I don't think the world will be ready to accept Obama, nor Wilhelm Clinton, okay? So it will be someone who, on his persona, will be squeaky clean, and he'll speak a lot of high, lofty words, and the prince of the power of the air will send out his wavelengths around the world, added to all the media and everything, to get everyone to believe this. And then will come the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy, the last 7 years. And the first 3.5 are going to be unparalleled peace, prosperity, goodness, kindness. Then all hell breaks loose after 3.5 years, when this loving, kind person has been wounded and comes back with satanic vengeance and goes into the temple that the Jews are going to build in Jerusalem and say, I'm God. Now, how long all of this is going to take? We don't know. But it's certainly for Harold Camping, if you're listening, it's not going to be May 21st. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.